Blog Talk Radio.
This is the season finale, the Super Bowl edition of Teeing It Up presents the NFL Sunday Sprint with Luke Morrow. I am Jeremy Schilling. Luke, we made it.
We sure have. It makes always makes the Super Bowl a little bittersweet because, of course, it's the biggest sporting event of the year, but then it leads to about an 8-month layoff for the show.
What will you be doing this time next Sunday?
Oh, man, that's a good question. It's this awkward time until baseball season starts. I mean, you have college basketball. Depends on the weekend in terms of the games and everything. But I don't know what I'm going to do on my Sundays. I didn't know what to do last week because the Pro Bowl doesn't count. And I'm not going to know what to do until, I guess, spring training.
Are you hinting that you did not watch the Pro Bowl?
I watched about the last 2 minutes, I think, just to see Andy Dalton, which why he was even on the team in the first place is crazy.
He was the seventh alternate. The rest of the guys were either injured in the Super Bowl or Joe Flacco's wife had a baby.
That's why it's ridiculous. That's one of the reasons why it's ridiculous to begin with. I'd rather see you put in the Pro Bowl than Andy Dalton, and I've only watched the last 2 minutes when he failed to complete the comeback.
All right, I don't want to talk about Deflategate. We've talked way too much about Deflategate over the last 2 weeks. Is there anything about this Super Bowl run-up besides Deflategate that has either surprised you, caught your eye, etc.?
No, absolutely not. I mean, the run-up to the Super Bowl is always so annoying. But I will say I do agree with giving the 2 weeks. I think that is necessary for the teams in terms of preparing and everything and being able to handle the whole situation and the upcoming game, but every year it's something crazy. And for whatever reason, whenever the Patriots are playing in the Super Bowl in Arizona, that's when they get caught doing something. The Deflategate, the whole Marshawn Lynch talking, not talking, you know, saying the same thing over and over again, just all that is just nonsense to me, and I'm happy that it's going to be coming to an end.
And don't forget about the other two front-page storylines. Tom Brady is sick, and Richard Sherman may leave because his wife's having a baby.
Yeah, now that is a big one, the Sherman one, of course, because that would be a huge loss for Seattle, even if he's not 100% Sunday. So that's the one story that I think attention should be paid towards. Tom Brady's sick. I think he'll be good enough to go regardless of what he's dealing with. I'm sure it's not too serious. But it's funny because those two are the probably the biggest issues, and they're the ones that are probably getting the least amount of attention behind the things we talked about, and even the Patriots having their fire alarm pulled twice in their hotel this week.
Do you actually think Richard Sherman would leave?
That is so tricky. I mean, you always hear, of course, I wouldn't know, but you always hear people say that some of the greatest day of their life is when their child or however many kids they have were born. For a professional athlete or a professional football player, the greatest day in your career has to be playing in the Super Bowl. And, of course, he's done that before, but, it's just... That's got to be such a tough decision for Sherman to have to choose between the birth of a child and the Super Bowl, and I'm not going to try to make it for him.
First of all, I'm very glad to know that you have not become a father sometime between lives. Between the last time we talked about that. And number two, I get all that, but my point is, and I've never understood this, and maybe I will when I become a father one day, but I feel like... especially for somebody like Richard Sherman, who's so outspoken, wouldn't your kid want you to be the champ? Doesn't a kid want your father and mother to be the best that they can possibly be? And especially since this is the Super Bowl, and thus Richard will get to be there every single day, starting out, and it's not like this happened in the middle of the season, but this is the end. That don't you think the best story would be, hey, you were born the day that I won the Super Bowl for the second consecutive year?
Yes, but at the same time, the kid may want their parents to be there for them. And, becoming a parent, and again, I'm completely ignorant to this, but becoming a parent usually means putting your kids before you, and that may start the very day that they enter this world. So that'll be a very interesting storyline in the Super Bowl, and I don't envy Richard Sherman for possibly having to make a tough call on it.
Absolutely. Let's delve into this game. We're going to look at all three aspects of things. We're going to start with the New England offense and the Seattle defense. To me, there are three storylines in that subset. Number one, how healthy is Richard Sherman? How healthy is Earl Thomas? Is that Legion of Boom fully healthy? Number two, as a consequence of that, how do you handle Gronk? Gronk, Seattle on paper, one would think would be one of the better teams to be able to guard Gronk because of the Legion of Boom. But how do you stop him? And number three, can the Patriots run the football? Take that.
Yeah, I'll agree with those 3 points. I think going back to the game against the Packers when the injuries first started for those guys, for whatever reason, Green Bay didn't test them. And I thought it was a poorly coached game from Mike McCarthy throughout that ball game. We're not going to see the same thing from Bill Belichick and the Patriots. I'm sure we'll find out very early in the game how healthy exactly those defensive backs are. I'm sure they'll be tested right away to get a feel for what the Patriots are dealing with. And I agree with you on Gronk. I think he's the X factor for the Patriots offensively in terms of how successful they can be in this game. He provides such a mismatch, such an issue for any defensive team, as good as they are, even Seattle. But as you said, if there is any team that should be able to handle it, it could be the Seahawks. With that said, I think Gronkowski still will have a big game and certainly lead the offense.
LeGarrette Blount, here's a guy who was ostracized about, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and now he could be winning a ring.
Yeah, and that's another situation they were talking about him working his way out of Pittsburgh to get back to New England, yada, yada, yada. But, for the Patriots, though, as good as Blount's been in that system, and with Belichick and Brady and everything, it seems like anybody they plug in can have success running the ball. It's kind of like Mike Shanahan with his run scheme over the years, that no matter who's getting the hands off, they seem to have success. So, Blount, they certainly could use a big game from him or whoever's running the ball, because that obviously helps out the offense in numerous ways. It's crazy with how his season started that he will be playing most likely a big role in the Super Bowl this year.
Let's now delve into when Seattle has the football. And first and foremost, Russell Wilson played probably the worst game as a pro for about 99.2% of that game two Sundays ago. And then, here he is. He came out the big champ and pulled through in the clutch that we know him to be. I think very early on, don't you feel like Bill Belichick will scheme up some stuff to kind of see where Russell Wilson's brain is at? Because the same way that when you play a tough golf course, you know early on what kind of game they have from how they play the first couple holes, I feel like these first couple drives will be crucial to see where Russell Wilson is at.
Right, and you give Belichick 2 weeks to prepare. I mean, that's asking for trouble. So, if they can keep Russell Wilson in the pocket, they can slow down the run game. It'll be an interesting matchup for Seattle because, I'm not going to say Russell Wilson. I like to believe Russell Wilson is overrated, but that doesn't mean that he's not a good quarterback. But with the success that Marshawn Lynch has had, if I'm the Patriots heading into this game, I still want Russell Wilson to be the guy that beats me and not Marshawn Lynch. And we saw last week the struggles that Wilson had. I think the Patriots could get a similar performance out of Russell with 2 weeks of game planning, and if they're able to slow down Lynch. You look at past games, and I know it's different teams, different players, but Bill Belichick has had success against Marshawn Lynch. I don't think he's ever rushed for more than 80 yards in a game against the Patriots. That's going back to his days in Buffalo with a totally different team, totally different system. But I think the Patriots, with an underrated front seven, will be able to slow down that run game. And then when the game is in the hands of Russell Wilson, I'm a little less confident in Seattle.
It's interesting. And then the other aspect of that, and I agree with you totally, I think part of the ebb and flow of this game is going to be, is it high scoring? Do we have offense early or do we have defense early? If we have defense early and it's low scoring, Tom Brady, I think, has a distinct advantage because he's been there more before than Russell Wilson has. And obviously, Marshawn Lynch is a key in low scoring games, but if somebody has to make a play and suddenly Brandon Browner and Revis, I think, are two imposing forces that may make a comeback or some kind of eking out a point that much harder.
Yeah, it's interesting because if the Patriots are behind and you become one-dimensional or you need quick points, that's so tough against the Seattle defense. But on the other side, if the Patriots are able to get ahead and take the running game out because of the score in the ball game, you mentioned guys needing to step up and make plays. I don't know if Seattle has that from their receivers offensively. And so if you can't run the ball as much as you would like to, you're forced to throw the ball, and you put it in Russell Wilson's hands, he may be able to do some things in the backfield. But on the other side of those throws and hopeful completions for Seattle, I don't know if the receivers can make enough plays to either keep up with Brady or to have to come back in the second half, even though we've seen Seattle do it in the past. But, you know, this is a better defense. This is a bigger stage. So I'm just not sure if Seattle, and they've gotten by all year with this, I don't know if they have enough playmakers offensively.
We shall see what happens on Sunday. That brings us to special teams. Do you give special teams, do you give a special teams edge to either team?
I don't know if there's a big advantage for either team. I think I would go with Seattle, though. We saw the special teams play a huge part for Seattle last week, or rather 2 weeks ago, in that comeback win against the Packers. And, you know, both of these teams can do some tricky things, but Pete Carroll has taken some chances, especially on special teams. They have a dependable kicker. I guess Seattle, but I don't see a huge advantage for either team heading into the game.
Nor do I. I do think running a fake field goal just, you know, kind of gets the blood flowing and kind of gets them thinking as to what happened. Steven Gostkowski has been a really good kicker for the Patriots for a long time. Belichick loves chicanery. Do we dare see Bill Belichick do something on that big a stage?
We may. I don't know if they'll have to. But, I mean, you have 2 weeks to prepare, and sometimes coaches can outsmart themselves, get a little too cute, because they think, since the other team has so much time, the Seahawks have figured out the Patriots and vice versa, so now you have to try to mix things up to throw them off. But we saw in that Packers game that whole fake field goal was set up because of a particular formation that the Packers went into, the Seahawks saw on film. So any advantage that these guys can get in any sort of play, whether it's a fake punt, fake field goal, whatever it may be, they're going to go for it. In this game.
Which coach do you give the edge to?
I gotta go with Belichick. I've never been a fan of Pete Carroll, but I will say, obviously, he's a good coach, but I don't think there's any better than Bill Belichick, despite all the shady stuff the Patriots may have pulled off in the years.
I agree. I like the attitude. I like the way Pete talks to his players. I like kind of how they go about getting their guys ready to play. It's an active style. Don't you feel like they're having a blast every time they get out there?
Oh, absolutely. And Carol,
and I feel like playing for Belichick sometimes is like you're going in for root canal, you know? It's obviously fun, but he gets this look on his face like, oh God, this is torture. So I'm very anxious and interested to see how that plays out, how that dynamic plays out. And are we in a scenario where one team just looks to be more relaxed and at ease and having a better time at it than somebody else? And obviously there's the two big Super Bowl X factors. You got longer commercial breaks, especially in the first half. You got to adapt to that. Hard to get into a groove. And obviously the longer halftime with Katy Perry and Lenny Kravitz. It's a long stretch and you got to be able to get loose and limber and back at it, full focused, ready to go.
Yeah, we've heard people complain about the halftime in the past. The Patriots have been there numerous times, but Seattle's been there as recently as last year with a lot of guys currently on the roster. So at least both sides have an advantage, or rather have the experience, and therefore there shouldn't be an advantage from either side in handling those aspects because they know what to expect.
It's about that time, Luke. I need your pick, and I need a reason.
I'm going to go with the Patriots. I'm going to say mainly because of Tom Brady. I think Gronkowski has a big day. The offense is able to move the ball, and defensively they're able to slow down Marshawn Lynch, which will be a big enough edge for them.
Excuse me. I am going Seattle 31-28. I know it's a bit high. I just have a weird feeling that somehow down the stretch we're going to get one of the most epic drives to end the Super Bowl. And I would not be surprised, as Al Michaels hinted earlier this week, if this game goes to overtime. Do you know a Super Bowl has never gone to overtime?
Well, and with the NFL rules, it's no way to decide a Super Bowl either.
Luke, thanks for a great season.
My pleasure as always.
Enjoy your Super Bowl Sunday. We will see you next September for the NFL.